Hey, Greg here, Remodelers Advantage, the Why We Build podcast. We're going to take a couple weeks off, holiday season, end of the year, but we will be back in the beginning of January. But in the meantime, I wanted to leave you with a classic episode of the Why We Build podcast.
Welcome to the Why We Build podcast. Join Steve Wheeler and our host, Greg Wallen, to explore the world of remodeling. Whether you're on the production team, design team, or managing the whole show, you can expect insights, tips, and stories that inspire and educate. So let's dive into the Why We Build podcast.
All right, everyone, welcome live, Why We Build podcast. Let's make some noise. Come on. Right on. Love it. I want to do something for my friend Steve here. I'm not sure he's heard this soundbite yet, but I want to introduce Steve Wheeler.
And now, Steve Wheeler.
I hired Sam Elliott to do that. Pretty awesome. Pretty
That's
awesome.
Pretty incredible. Thank you.
You got that. Wow. What's going on?
Not much. Here at the 2025 Summit. Love seeing all the people, all the content. Everything's coming together. It's been an amazing 2 days.
More than Mike.
And just excited to get in with our guests here today.
All right. Well, learned a lot about a lot of you, a lot of second generation folks at the summit. Been great to talk to everyone. So we're going to dive right in. Since 1989, when Dave and Brenda first put Black Dog Design, Build, Remodel in motion, their vision has been clear. Build a world-class remodeling company grounded in values, a proven process, and a commitment to clients. More than three decades later, that vision is still alive and well, carried forward by a dedicated team serving Salem and Nashua, New Hampshire. But today we're not talking about the history of a great company. We're going to talk about the future of our industry. Remodeling as a profession is coming of age. Many of the first generation owners who started companies in the late 80s and 90s are now looking towards retirement. And with this comes one of the most important and often most overlooked challenges for any business, that is succession planning. What happens when the founder steps back? Who takes the reins and how does a company prepare for that transition while protecting its culture, clients, and legacy? For some, the answer lies within family. For others, it may be finding leadership from the outside. Either way, it's a journey that requires foresight, intentionality, and willingness to think long term. Today's episode will explore what it really looks like when the next generation steps in. Not just to carry on the family name, but to carry forward the vision. Steve, could you please introduce our guest?
All right, let's go ahead and get started. Gates Bryan has been a part of the Black Dog Builders team for the past 2 years. After earning her bachelor's degree in marketing from the University of Delaware, Go Blue Hens, she discovered her true passion in the remodeling world. She first worked in cabinetry, tile, and stone sales before making the leap into design build. Encouraged by her dad to join the family business, that move was the start of a career she quickly embraced and never looked back on. As a designer, Gates thrives on blending beauty with functionality, finding creative ways to make spaces both practical and inspiring. When she's not working with clients, you can usually find her in the pool or the weight room, lifting relatively heavy things. She's also an avid reader, enjoys cooking, and has a soft spot for horror movies. At home, she shares her downtime with her spirited cat, Winry. Welcome to the show, Gates.
Welcome, Gates. Round of applause for Gates, please.
Thank you very much.
Gates,
excited to be here.
Thank you for being here with us. It's been a long journey getting here, but I'm glad that we're able to do this. Tell us a little bit more about your background, the company.
Yeah, absolutely. So like it was said, I've been at Black Dog for the past 2 years now, and I had originally started in marketing, marketing for a construction company, and I quickly realized that that was not at all where my passion lay. It was just sort of a miserable day in, day out, and I wanted to get out, and I called up my mom. It was my first job out of college, and I'm like crying on the phone to her, and I'm like, Mom, I hate my job. It's the worst. And she says, well, sweetie, you know, you always liked what I did. And she was a kitchen designer and was the founder or one of the founders of our business. And why don't you take some design courses? And I said, well, you and Dad just want a retirement plan. that's not what I want to do. But I listened to her and I took some design classes and I was like, dang it, I really kind of like this. This is kind of super fun. And so when I finally got up the courage to quit my first job after my first year, I moved back home and I kind of felt like a giant failure for not being able to spread my wings and immediately find success. And so I started putting out my resume everywhere to all local lumber yards that had design centers saying, please, please hire me. Please, please train me. I know nothing, but I'll work really, really hard and I'll do it for peanuts. And I found a wonderful local company that hired me, and I had a great mentor in their primary kitchen designer who just gave me a great starting off point. And once I realized that I really did love that I was just loving what I did on a day-to-day, that's when Dave approached me and said, do you want to, let's do this thing kind of thing.
Had you spent much time in the business growing up? Were you, involved at all?
So as the daughter of a business owner, or as a child of any business owner, you probably know the weekends of like filing and the weekends of, well, this thing has to get done at the office and you are cheap labor and therefore we'll do it. I also did intern in the marketing department in high school. That was the sort of sum total of my experience there.
Did your little brothers ever have to push brooms or anything? Because that's a lot of the sons that come into the business, that's how they start. They're the broom technician.
One of my brothers who's in the trades did. The other one was the money's not worth it. It wasn't like a mandated thing. Yeah. I think that Dave, my dad, always wanted people to want to do the work. And so he wasn't going to have us forced to give up our weekends to do that.
So how has your perspective changed on the company since you've been day-to-day involvement?
So when I was growing up, anybody who knows Dave and has been he's a facilitator for RA and was a member and is very well known among the community. While I was walking around this summit, he was shaking hands with everybody, kissing babies, all that kind of stuff. And I'm like, whoa, he's kind of a big deal.
He really is. Absolutely, he is.
But when I was growing up, he would come home and he'd be sitting around the dinner table and he would, talk about the core values of the business and all of that kind of stuff. And he was really just having me drink the Kool-Aid at a very young age. And I kind of thought, well, this is all BS. This can't truly be the company culture where everybody's so chipper to go to work every day. And then I started working there and I was like, oh wait, this actually is the culture and it's actually awesome. For example, we just got voted one of New Hampshire's best companies to work for, which we're very, very proud of. And we just got an email from our financial, our CFO yesterday that they went to the welcome breakfast and he just sent this great email about how much we can do if we just sort of take the extra step. And this isn't from Dave. This is a guy on our leadership team who is not asking permission to send this, but is instead sort of taking advantage of a lesson well learned and distributing it to the rest of the team. And it's just really enforcing the culture. It's an awesome, awesome place to work.
So there's, unique challenges sometimes in a family business. I worked in a family business. My grandfather owned a boat company. My dad and I both worked there. That was, not the funnest time in my life. But, how do you balance the family relationships with the business responsibilities? Because I've seen you and your dad palling around, and you guys get along. It's really great, to see that.
We do. Yeah, we do. I think that most people want me to say that it's really annoying and tough working with my dad, but it's actually awesome. I love coming to work every day, and I love being able to see him a couple days a week. We're not, sharing the same cubicle, so there's space. We're not down each other's throats all day. But I will say that I think the first couple months there was some adjustment periods. I think Dave has high standards for everybody in his company, and I think that they are just a wee bit higher for me. And so we had those sort of tough discussions at first that was like, I've got a good work ethic. You got to trust that I have a good work ethic. And you know, the I will prove myself to be a responsible, valuable member of the team in time, and so trust that I will do that. And I think that he really embraced that, and we've gotten over any of those sort of initial bumps along the way. And now I think we just need to keep in mind, we don't have a lot of arguments because we're not at the time where I'm still designing, I'm not in a leadership position at this point in time, but I think that the one thing to keep in mind is that at the end of the day, we love each other, and that's way more important than anything that involves a business at all. So that trumps it 100%.
Thinking about, you know, the values that your family's business has, you know, what's something in that that you are, you know, really considering, you know, or you know, you're not gonna let go of, you're gonna keep moving forward with? What kind of stuff?
Oh yeah. So I think the culture that has been developed at Black Dog is great. We are just such an awesome team with people who are just incredibly motivated and love what they do every day and are just awesome people. And I think that they are the core and the heart of the business. And so one of the things that is my personal mission is just to provide, to be a steward of this company in order to provide the best possible lives for those employees. I'm not really in it for the financial part of it or anything like that, which is a great side effect of running a successful company. But if I can give back to the people who give so much to the organization and continue that legacy of, I know Dave wakes up and kind of says, okay, how can we make our people's lives better and what can we do to improve their lives? If I can continue that legacy, I'm really, really happy when I go to bed at night.
No, I think it's just so awesome there. You talk about, know, kind of the genesis of how you came into the company. How important was it for working for someone else? You know, you heard your teary discussion with your mom, but you know, you also spent some time learning from others and seeing how other companies work. How important was that?
Oh, it was huge. It was huge. So the first job out of college, the company was a bit mismanaged, and I won't go into it too much, but I would call him and complain about this, that, and the other thing, and he'd be like, you're just getting so much great experience, and then hang up the phone, because it was just really, it was awesome to see how things shouldn't be done in some scenarios, but then it's also awesome to see these new ideas and these new ways of doing it, so that when I came into the business, this wasn't the only thing that I had ever known, and I also think it gave me some good street cred, for lack of a better word, with other employees, that it wasn't like, you know, I have nightmares about being the quintessential Nepo baby and not knowing anything and not having anything to contribute or add to an organization. So it gave me a lot of self-confidence and lessened the imposter syndrome that you experience in a position like mine.
Yeah, and to follow up on that, that's great. I started my company with my brother, and I think one of the toughest parts was we had 25 years of a certain way of communicating and a certain way of handling conflict. And the same thing can be with, you know, father-daughter, father-son, mother-daughter. So how did you guys work through in the early stages, you know, looking at it as a professional, you know, was there kind of a cloak that came on? This is how we are in work. This is how we are at dinner or the holidays. How did you go through that kind of transition of the communication part?
It was tough. It was tough mostly because you're used to being so casual, and then there's a certain kind of aura that you need to portray in the office, and also I had been around the office growing up all the time. You know, when I was sick and my mom couldn't take care of me, I would come to the office and lay in a little sick bed in my dad's office, and we are lucky to have employees that have been with us for 25, 30 years and have known me since I was a little kid. So that was odd, like calling my dad Dave on a regular basis. Now at the office, he's always Dave. That was a bizarre shift. And it's like those little things that you don't really think about, or he has like all of his little pet names for me that he's worse about it than I am. He still slips up on a regular basis of like calling me like Pookie or whatever, you know, you know. So that was sort of the biggest transition in terms of how we interact. There's still a lot of love there, and I don't really feel like, I think it would be disingenuous for me to be like, anyways, I'll see you in the AM, Father. And, you know, I'm still telling him that I love him and I still give him hugs and stuff like that. So in that way, a lot of stuff hasn't changed. In terms of conflict, again, I think it's so early in our working relationship that we have not had a ton of conflict. And to be honest, in the very beginning, I would call my mom and be like, what would you do in my scenario? And then my mom would usually be like a great go-between and be, and like dad would come home and he'd be like, she'd be like, you messed up. Time to go talk to your daughter about something, which is not the way that I plan to engage in conflict really going forward. But at first I was like, how did you, you're married to this guy. How are you dealing with this? So
when I worked for my grandfather, I used to always threaten him with, I'm going to my Nana if you don't leave me alone, you know, so that always worked.
I followed through on my threats.
Yeah, my 9-year-old daughter just started calling me Steve, so it's kind of weird. Just kind of skipped a step there.
That is. All right, so let's talk a little bit about succession and the leadership transition, as much as you guys know at this point. But we know succession planning, especially in a family business, can be an emotional topic. How was your family approach this conversation and, you know, the transition for a long-term leadership change?
Yeah, so Dave is not shy at all about, like, being ready for the next chapter. It's not right now, but he's got great things on the horizon. He's got a plan. He's got 7 different adventures lined up and 4 other business ventures, I'm sure, that he hasn't even realized that he has in the works yet. So there's not really been a whole lot of clinging on, and so he's excited for that next chapter, which makes it much easier for me than to be excited about taking on leadership roles, because I know that it's going to be more of a collaboration and less of like pulling teeth and prying him away from his desk and then kicking him out of the building. So in that way, it's really exciting, and we're both really excited for the future. And then in terms of, you know, how that actually is going to work, we're going to rejoin RA. He's facilitated for years now, but we'll be rejoining as a father-daughter duo, and I'll also then join solo to get a little bit of perspective outside of the business and outside of his voice, because I do have like a little mini Dave that sits on my shoulder.
Can I get one of those?
Right? It's yeah, we should franchise that. there's going to be that. We have a coach more or less that specializes in family business and all that kind of stuff that we'll be engaging with down the line. So
that was going to be my next question, is just the coaching consulting. You know, because there's just obviously the priority in life is to maintain the family dynamic.
Absolutely.
Right? That is the core. And so did you start at the very beginning with coaching, consulting, a framework to go through this process?
No, actually not yet. We have not engaged with one as of yet. I think that we'll start with engaging when I am ready to move up into a leadership position. I love design. It is absolutely my passion. And for the first year of me being at the business, I was the official onboarder for JobTread, which was a huge lift. And it was also me paying my dues and doing something that I was like not jazzed about, but also knew it was a very necessary, vital thing for the company. So that was my role. And then I got to shift into design this past year, which I've loved. So I would love to get another, you know, year or two of designing under my belt before we sort of make that transition, just because I'm so passionate about it.
So what sort of things have been helpful in preparing you for the next step? I mean, you've done some of this, you know, these classes and stuff, but is there anything else? Like, is there any sort of structural things that the family is doing? I know of a program at UConn where they deal with family businesses. I worked for a company, they were third generation. They did that whole program and stuff. Is there anything that formalized? I mean, we're glad you're going to be part of RA. That's a big thing for us.
Yeah, so the Family Business Institute is something that we are considering. We have not engaged with it just as of yet. I think I would love to start finding some outside mentors, and so that was one of the reasons why I'm here at the summit, is to also find some people who are also second generation, and we can talk and we can share our experiences, and then also find other people who I can look up to within the industry, because for a really long time, Dave has been like the gold standard. And I think there are so many other just really intelligent, great business people in this community that I would love to take advantage of.
Well, Victoria has made it her mission this summit to get all of you second and third generations together.
She's been dragging me around by my ear.
Yeah,
it's been great.
That's awesome. You know,
that's not like her.
No, it has been awesome.
It's great. She's the great networker, and I think it's so important to meet other, because there's just the commonality is there, but everybody's story is different, and there's so much to learn from the second generation folks.
Absolutely.
Why don't we talk a little bit about Black Dog? And what do you think makes Black Dog stand out in your market? You guys have a great reputation.
Yes, we do. And I'm very lucky that I've been brought into this organization and sort of seen that as an example. I think what sets us apart from a lot of design build companies is the amount of time that we have spent perfecting our process. So having something that can be repeated in a consistent fashion means that when we encounter those bumps in the road that happen in every remodeling project, we have systems in place where we can tackle those processes. And, you know, at the end of the day, it is all referring back to our core values. And so I think that that process also allows us to be really clear in our communication to our clients. Our clients, from the jump, from that first initial phone call, know what the expectation is. And then we just need to follow through and go above and beyond. Hopefully one of our sort of things that we do in our company is we have nines and tens. So if you've seen Dave in any of his Black Dog shirts, has a nine and a 10 on the side. Nines and tens are just that going above and beyond and doing things that maybe really just set us apart from the pack. And it doesn't even necessarily have to be related to business. You know, one of my favorite ones was one of our carpenters had a couple of boxes laying around after unloading some cabinetry, and he decided at the end of the day to make a little cardboard fort for the kids living in the house. And then he comes back on Monday morning, and the mom is like, "Do you know how much of a saving grace that cardboard house has been? Those kids have been playing in that thing all weekend, and it rocks." And it's just those little things, because we've just cultivated this great culture, and we have these amazing people, that we are really able to set ourselves apart in the market and remain in people's mind and get repeat business.
So you talked about design and how much you love design. How do you see that influencing the company's next chapter?
Oh, gosh. So I think my design philosophy is, and one of the reasons I love design is I'm a puzzle person. I actually don't like designing from a blank slate. Seeing an empty page does not give me this visionary inspiration. I like seeing the pieces in place and seeing how I can optimize those pieces. And so I think that I will take that same approach in leadership and kind of seeing what is already there and seeing a way to optimize those things, because it's a great like structure. There's great bones to this business. And so I don't really feel like I need to go in and just uproot everything and change everything. I just think it's important to look at the existing foundation and see how can I improve, where can I make these advantages. Yes.
All right. Well, appreciate that. We got a little fun segment of the show now, if you're ready for this.
Absolutely. Bring it on.
Okay. It's Hammer Time with Steve Wheeler.
All right. Can you play that again? Okay, sure. That was great. All right. So, who would play you in a movie about your life and business?
Oh, God. that one's tough. Oh, doesn't look anything like me, but I like Anne Hathaway. She's really cool. She's down to earth.
Perfect.
She's a lovable person.
Perfect. Drink of choice, coffee, energy drink, or tea?
Coffee.
Okay, me too. Favorite book, fiction or nonfiction?
Circe by Madeline Miller.
Quick. What is your guilty pleasure TV show?
My fiance has turned me into an anime nerd, so I've been on a Demon Slayer kick. There is zero that is like rewarding sort of intellectually about the show, but it's really cool to look at.
If you could have lunch with any famous builder or designer, who would it be?
Oh, gosh.
We could do famous person, too.
Okay, yeah, I was going to say, like, builder or designer, I'm not positive. Famous person. Sorry, this one's a toughie. Rapid fire. Oh, Barack Obama.
Yeah, I like that.
Obama is just, I just want to give him a hug.
I'm going to join you at that lunch.
Yeah.
What is the most rewarding part of your job?
Oh, creating beautiful spaces for people, like bringing their dreams to life.
Yeah.
So not hanging out with your dad?
No, I changed my answer. Hanging out with my dad. That's the favorite part of my job. Hanging out with Dave, excuse me.
And last one, what is the best business advice you've ever received?
Okay, so it was not from today. I've heard this in the past, but it has been reiterated many times today, is that positive reinforcement is the most powerful thing that you can give somebody.
Yeah. Awesome. Great.
Gates, before we sign off, you know, any last nugget you can give to the audience, anything about, you know, companies either, you know, facing this or anything you want. Okay. Anime, you can give us some input on anime.
I would say that I think at the end of the day, do not let your business life overtake your personal life, because when you are old and senile, the relationships that you make in your personal life are going to be the ones sustaining you. And, you know, I can be assured that my relationship with my dad is just always going to be awesome because we prioritize that. And I think it is the most crucial thing. It is more important than anything that you can do in business. You know, just remember that those core relationships are the things that you keep coming home to every day.
That was beautifully said.
Wise.
Yes. Very good.
Thank you.
Let's give a round of applause for Gates, please. All right. Thank you so much for being here. And we'll play the outro music. And we'll see you on the next Why We Build podcast.
That's it for this episode of the Why We Build podcast. We hope you found something valuable to take back to your team. If you enjoyed the show, be sure to subscribe and leave a review. Please send in your ideas for future episodes. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you on the next one. If you want more information about our roundtables program, production manager groups, design manager groups, consulting services, or any of the Remodelers Advantage offerings, please visit remodelersadvantage.com or email Greg at remodelersadvantage.com.